is on the radio today. So turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael Kay Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It's April 11th. It's 2024. Hope you're having a great day. Weird. It's kind of weird to process because, you know, O.J. Simpson passed away after a battle with prostate cancer. And, you know, even our own company and around news outlets throughout the world, they're covering it like a head of state passed away. And it's weird because other than being a great football player, he certainly didn't seem like he was a great guy. And I know that we cover people that are not great guys, but, you know, ESPN is, I mean, it's like wall-to-wall coverage on, thank goodness for the Masters. I thought I'd never say that.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, it would be flooding the airwaves. I just don't think the guy deserves that kind of...
Well, that's how I felt about it. And it's not just us, Michael. It's everywhere. It's getting covered as if a head of state passed away. And you could say, well... And the pushback that I've gotten, you know, in our meetings and such is, well, you know, come on, he was a Hall of Fame running back. God forbid if Eric Dickerson passed away, I don't think we'd be covering it like this. Now, you look at his acting career. There have been actors that have recently passed that have not gotten this kind of coverage.
But way bigger actors.
Now, you combine the two, now you're talking about something, but let's be honest. The third piece is what happened 30 years ago.
No, that's the first piece.
But what I'm saying is that we can talk all about his football career, we can talk about his acting career, but what happened 30 years ago was so polarizing. And we were talking to some students from Fordham today that weren't alive during that. Our producer wasn't alive in 94. It's hard to even put into words how big a deal that was. So I get that it's a big deal that that happened, but it did kind of rub me the wrong way, quite frankly, that he is getting the attention that he's getting, because even though he was not convicted for the murders, he was found guilty in the civil suit. And we also know what happened after in Las Vegas. Not a good person. So it kind of bothers me that he's getting the coverage that he's getting, but I kind of have to live with it and understand it.
It's 100% because of 1994. That is, Eric, O.J. Simpson, the football player, would have been a top headline on the side of ESPN.com.
Sure.
The football player. Yeah. It would have said that top headline on the side. It would have said, Master Tiger teeing off 354 as your front page. And the side would say, O.J. Hall of Famer O.J. Simpson passed away at 70. What was he?
76.
The even football career, even acting career, Don, right, wouldn't have changed that. He would have been...
Right, Lou Gossett Jr. didn't get the coverage, and he just recently passed away and was a tremendous actor.
Correct. And by the way, the first black Oscar award, male Oscar, I think, was to Lou Gossett Jr. So, O.J., the reason O.J. is elevated from the sports page to everything else is 100% because he was involved in one of the biggest, most culturally impactful sort of moments in modern America. I mean, I don't think we can't avoid that part. It's all bad, but we can't avoid it.
And the reason that the coverage was so big in 94 was because of the acting and because of the football player, that's why that was so epic. And then it all kind of comes together. But
And just the fact that it was a chase. I mean, it was a perfect confluence of events that led to that being the biggest story in the world. You isolate any one thing and you're like, why was this what everyone was talking about? But when we got to that Friday night in June, the Rangers are playing in the finals and the Knicks are playing in the playoffs and the World Cup is happening and Jack Nicklaus is playing in his last event and O.J. Simpson is on the run. It was the perfect confluence, and it became the biggest thing. And then you add, of course, you know, America's favorite thing. You sprinkle on a big dose of racial division, and it's got everything to make it a gigantic story. And that's the reason it's getting this. His athletic career deserves legitimate conversation, but that is not why this is a conversation.
Well, the sad part about the way his life unfolded, he is one of the most dynamic, you know, NFL football players of all time. just is. And we're not even talking about that. We're not even talking about the great player with the Buffalo Bills and all the yards he carried and, you know, the juice, whatever. He completely destroyed his life. And obviously, according to a civil trial, he ended the life of two other people. But a jury of his peers said that he didn't. And if you really want to get deep here, if you want to look at our country in a state of disrepair, you can go back to that trial. And it's been a drip, drip, drip since then.
Yeah.
I mean, really, everything started to fall apart. That was totally something that was done on along racial lines. And, you know, everybody that's involved in that trial pretty much is dead.
That is kind of crazy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Dershowitz, I think, right? Is still alive at 85. And obviously on the Marsha Clark is still alive. But
is Ito still alive, the judge?
I believe so. I could look. I didn't look that up. I know that
Kardashian's dead.
Bailey,
Effley Bailey's
dead.
Johnny Cochran's dead.
Yeah,
he's alive. He's alive.
Ito.
Ito was born in 1950. He's 73.
And you know he led an absolute circus. He was a lot of the problem with that trial too. He's going on television as an active judge in an active trial.
It was a bizarre moment in time. The thing that upset me is that, you know, obviously the last 20, since I left the show early yesterday, I've been consumed with the passing of Mr. C. We did a show today that was unlike any show I've ever done before. The most emotional radio show I've probably ever done. And all day I'm just kind of reading people's tributes. And then I'm sorry, with all due respect, I was just like, now I'm seeing people post about OJ? I was just like, I'm not saying the guy doesn't deserve mourning. He has loved ones. He has family. But the level of space it's taking up I was sitting there literally reading one tribute after another about this wonderful man who did so many things in this city and in our industry, and then to just see people say, "Oh, rest in peace, OJ." I'm not saying he doesn't deserve peace, but I can't.
Well,
post
there are
rest
those
in peace,
well,
OJ.
If he did kill two people, I don't think he deserves.
Well,
peace.
That becomes a different conversation. Right. That's a religious conversation, but I just don't have the ink or time.
People. I don't know if any of them will call today that think he's innocent. And then there are people that didn't care because they felt like, and this was only, a couple of years removed from Rodney King, finally, you know, there was a black man that was able to get off and not get railroaded. Well,
by the way, I appreciated that sentiment so much more than innocent. I was like, tell me you just think it's justice served. Please don't tell me you think he won this case.
But there are a lot of people
that felt that way. But here's the thing: is that even if you wanted to take the tact of, well, we got our comeuppance, it wasn't about black or white. It was about green. He was rich. He got off because we just rattled off the names of the lawyers. Good luck anybody being able to afford that kind of dream team. And then the way the L.A. prosecutors completely dropped the ball because they had no idea what they were doing. That's what ended up happening.
Well, and as we saw in the years that follow, it didn't signify any sort of change with the justice system.
No.
It signified nothing. It was just a rich guy who got off. That was it.
And this guy, before that incident, he had one of the great lives ever. I mean, he was a broadcaster. He wasn't a good broadcaster, but he was a broadcaster.
And he treated him like
charming,
gold, though, yeah.
And you know, he had commercials. I mean, he was living the life.
Is there a comp? I thought of one. I'm wondering if you thought of
athlete becoming a broadcaster.
Well, explaining the level of celebrity that OJ was in 1994 to what it would be if I was trying to describe it to somebody that wasn't alive, like Anthony, here in 2024. There was one person that I thought of, not quite that level, but I think close.
Who?
Would be Michael Strahan. Where he was a Hall of Fame football player. He's now created a whole other life for himself on television where there are probably people, Michael, that know Michael Strahan who had no idea what football team he played for or that he played football. Like, so I don't know if I'd have him at OJ's level because OJ was just epic. You know, with the Naked Gun movies and the Hess commercial, Hertz commercials. But that would be the comp. And that's why there was so much attention at the time. People know that is always going to be where were you when, not just the innocent verdict or the not guilty verdict, but the Bronco and just when you heard that his wife and her friend were killed and him being questioned and then eventually they were trying to hunt him down. That is carved into, I think, anybody of a certain age's memory to the level of, you know, JFK or the moon landing. I don't think I'm exaggerating here. The attention that got was epic.
I mean, if you were at Madison Square Garden for that Game 5 of the NBA Finals, people were going to the concession stand to watch the chase. You know, the bowl of Madison Square Garden was not full because people were watching this chase. Here's a story I never told on the air before. Kevin Smolin, who produced the Yankee games on YES for the first 10 years, was a producer at NBC. And he was very close with OJ. And he was OJ's producer whenever OJ did any kind of piece for the NFL, whatever. And so Kevin is in the truck. He was one of the production crew for the NBA Finals. He was in the truck at Madison Square Garden. And OJ Simpson, in the Bronco, called up NBC and said, I want to talk to Kevin Smolian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some flunky answered the phone. Oh, I'm sorry, he's working, hung up. Again, call back. I want to talk to Kevin Smolian. His name is Kevin Smolin, but OJ's called him Smolian. And he goes, I need to talk to Kevin Smolian. It's an emergency. I'm sorry, he's doing the game, hung up. And like 2 weeks later, somebody came up to Kevin. Did you ever get a chance to talk to OJ? He was calling you. What? They could have had this interview with OJ on the air if they had patched it through to the truck and let him talk to Kevin.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It's, wow. Were you at the Garden?
I was at the Yankee game.
Yeah. I was working at Sports Phone, you know, watching the Rockets and the Knicks, and then just seeing the screen shrink, and all of a sudden the Knick game's on a little box in the bottom right-hand corner of the television, and you know, people were mentioning on Twitter, it wasn't really a chase, it was more like an escort, but he was still watching the Bronco, which I'm still convinced is that everybody was just hoping that there'd be a shootout or something would happen, because there was no high-speed chase. It wasn't anything really interesting to see other than what was going to happen. Was he going to commit suicide? What was he going to do?
Well, yeah, you're waiting for
the end. You're waiting for where it felt like it was going to be the end. And the rest of the country didn't get the game. They were off it. They were done.
Think about the justice system in this country. The murders occur. You know, he goes to Chicago, then comes back. Then every evidence is pointing to him. He gets in a Bronco with Al Cowlings, and they're driving to Mexico. He's trying to leave the country, and he's found not guilty. What'd they try to spin that at? You know, he was distraught?
Yeah.
So when you're distraught, you always jump in a Bronco and just drive in the highway.
Yeah, wouldn't you? I mean, to this day, and the one thing I don't want to have on the show is arguments about whether guilty or not. Everyone's going to have their opinion. Wouldn't you, that whole thing of the joke that people used to make, OJ's looking for the real killer?
Right.
Like, wouldn't you just come out and be so distraught immediately and just going, oh my God, I will do anything I can
right.
to make sure that the person who killed my wife will pay?
I wonder if Cato Kaelin steps up now and says, by the way, he did do it.
Was that the word that Cato knew?
Well, Cato was on the property.
But he still may have not seen.
Right.
He might have just been hiding.
Were practically decapitated. It was so gruesome and vicious. They were practically decapitated.
Because even in a world where someone else was killing them for another reason, why would it be so gruesome?
Right.
And the part that always killed me, not to take away the innocence and tragedy for Nicole Brown Simpson, but was Ron Goldman, was this guy who just like, you know, she knew, maybe she was talking to him, but like, he doesn't know what he's getting involved in.
No.
He brought back her glasses, right?
Yeah, from the restaurant. Awful. The other big story right now is with Shohei Ohtani, where Ippi Iwamura, the former translator, it wasn't just $4.5 million. He stole like $16 million. And what were we just told before the show? How many bets did he make?
Was it like 19,000?
Yeah,
something ridiculous. None of them on baseball, by the way.
Isn't that amazing? Not one of them on baseball.
Now, Passan has a tweet, Mike. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah, I'm just seeing it right now.
This was on or about March 20th, 2024. Mutsuhara messaged Bookmaker One stating, have you seen the reports? Bookmaker One responded, yes, but that's all BS. Obviously, you didn't steal from him. I understand it's a cover job. I totally get it. Mutsuhara then responded to Bookmaker One, technically, I did steal from him. It's all over for me.
Now, Jeff also tweeted out that these are the two important elements from the complaint against Muzuhara. One, the size of his bets and the debt he allegedly incurred were massive, losing bets of nearly $183 million, winning bets of more than $142 million, and $40.7 million in losses, but no bets on baseball. Now,
I was going to say, doesn't that send up kind of a red flag for you?
It's curious.
He works in baseball. He said he had no idea what the difference was between betting legally or illegally. And he bet all this and not on baseball? Like, I mean, you wonder, like, was Ohtani involved? Like, if you wanted to make sure that Ohtani would be clean, you'd try to stay away from betting on baseball, right? Now, he's not allowed to bet on baseball either, but he's not allowed to bet with illegal gamblers either. But for a guy that was so desperate, losing so much money, he never bet on the sport that he was the closest to?
You know, I've read stories of gamblers, like, you know, hopeless gamblers, and they go to what they know the best. And what he knew the best and had the inside information was on baseball. It just seems so odd to me that he didn't turn to that. Forget about the Ohtani aspect. This guy's in the clubhouse, knows injury reports, knows scouting reports, and he never did that. So you have such a problem with gambling, but you've drawn a moral and ethical line. I can't bet on baseball. It's very curious.
And I'm not saying the bookies would care where the money came from. But wouldn't you be curious to know, is this guy on the up and up? How can an interpreter be able to have all this money to make these bets?
Well, I don't think the bookie cares where the money comes from as long as there's money.
True, but unless they know, but you're making these bets, right? Like,
right.
Is the money up front? Does he take the $500,000 and put it on the table and say, I'm betting the Bulls tonight? Or do they know that this guy has the money, that he's good for it? And why would they think he's good for it if he's just an interpreter, they know he's being backed by, maybe they don't know it's Ohtani, but they must know he's being backed by somebody financially.
I think they knew there was a connection to Ohtani. Not that they had a direct line to Ohtani, but remember, the first line, the first story that we heard about Ipe was that he went to an interview that was set up by Ohtani's people with ESPN, and in that interview he said that Ohtani paid his debts for him. He paid the bookie. Now we're hearing stories that Mizuhara was imitating Ohtani on the phone, changed the code so that Ohtani wouldn't know. First of all, if this is all true, Ohtani has to fire everybody in his employ. Anybody that's handling his money, $16 million missing, and you don't tell me? You don't notice? Now, on a more personal note, so this stuff broke late last night, and so before I go to bed, I'm looking at the phone, and there's so many people that are either Dodger fans or Ohtani fans that are saying, make sure Michael K sees this. Let me tell you all right? Let me look right into the camera. I don't give a crap, okay? I never said he was guilty. Not once did I say he was guilty. I said, and a lot of people conveniently forget this, if he is guilty of gambling on baseball, he has to be suspended, thrown out of the game. That's what I said. I never said he was. And then most recently what I said, and I said this over and over and over again, and I hold firm to it to this day. Why is this guy allowed to not be asked questions? That's what I said. So all of you people that are fans of Ohtani, I was getting tweets from Japan. Make sure Michael K sees this. I saw it. Doesn't change my opinion at all. He never had to answer a question about any of this. Any of it. He read a prepared statement. Tell me another athlete that would never have to make any kind of a press conference where he's asked question after question. Alex Rodriguez was asked question after question. Pete Rose was asked question after question. Paul Hornung, when he got suspended from football, was asked question. This guy's never had to have his feet held to the fire, ever. And I hold firm on that. Let's take away the gambling. Never happened. Ippy, never happened. None of this stuff ever happened. The fact that this guy's a baseball player and never has had to answer questions on a daily basis, like every great baseball player in the history of the game, is beyond me. And I stand firm on that. And yeah, Michael K saw all of it. Doesn't change my opinion one bit. I'm glad that he's not involved. I'm still somewhat dubious how all this happened, that he had no idea whatsoever. You have to question you know, where's his head at? If all of this is going on around him, you got a guy who's a degenerate gambler practically living with you, and you never had any inkling of it. Those are questions for another day. The fact that this guy has never had to answer a question to me is reprehensible. So, yeah, Michael K. knows, Michael K. saw, doesn't change one iota what Michael K. said. I have always said, if he did this, and I have also said he should have been forced to answer questions. And every game that he plays for the Dodgers that he is an active player in, just like Aaron Judge, just like Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso, just like Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, just like Mike Trout, they should have to stand there and answer questions to the media. That's what I said.
Yeah,
stand behind it. Come at me.
What can you say about that? Why, everything you said makes sense.
But it's funny. People selectively hear what they want to hear. They think that I said that he was guilty. Never, Don.
No, you said they ignored the if, because what happens is they don't hear it live. They hear, did you hear what Michael said? He should be kicked out of baseball. Did you hear what Michael said? You said if it's found that he bet, then he should be kicked out, or you started to talk about if. You were very, very, very selective to make sure that that word was heard, but unfortunately, if got lost in translation, and you've had his back as far as that's concerned. The only thing you killed him for is not speaking, no matter what. This is supposed to be the face of baseball. This is supposed to be somebody that you're trying to help save the game, sell the game, and he doesn't make himself available to talk, ever, about anything.
It is funny. Dodger fans couldn't have cared, could not have cared one iota about Shohei Ohtani for the last 6 years when he was with the Angels. Never. Now they're defending him like he's Duke Snyder, right, Jackie Robinson.
They spent a lifetime.
The guy has been on your team for 3 weeks, and you're going bending over backwards to defend this guy when you didn't even care about him for the last 6 years. What a bunch of phonies. You should have that same defense of Sandy Koufax and Jackie Robinson and Gil Hodges. That's where the love should be. Tommy Lasorda, you're falling in love with the guy for 6 weeks.
But you know fans, too. If he has, let him be a disappointment this year. Don't worry, they won't be defending.
But he's too good a player to be a disappointment.
Then there's that part.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable two stories. Let's go to JJ in North Carolina. JJ.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the OJ and Shohei, if I can, and maybe get some responses. First, with Shohei, like you were saying, Michael, I don't understand how he could bet lose $16 million and bet 19,000 times, and Shohei has no idea whatsoever and has no involvement. I just want to ask you, if he has one, like, atom of involvement, one iota of involvement, like any way, is he banned from baseball? Like, okay, so there's different like levels to it, right? Like, if he, even if he's involved in a legal bookie, he's not going to be like,
I think he'll be punished. I don't know to what level, but the only way that you'd get a permanent ban, and he should get a permanent ban if he's involved, that baseball's bet on. And strangely, there's not one baseball game bet on over 2 years.
It's unbelievable. It makes no sense. There's way too much smoke for there not to be fire with this guy. I really hope the FBI can uncover what really happened. With OJ, yeah, Peter, you were mentioning it before. I mean, you see people on Twitter, you know, there's one NFL player saying, rip OJ, rip OJ. He was, you know, is it just me, or do I don't understand these people that have remorse, and, you know, his kids, I think he's still in contact. He was still in contact with them, but they didn't, you know, they weren't really close to him and whatnot. But, you know, he murdered two people. I wasn't alive to hear all the stories and everything. But yeah, I'm with you. I didn't feel any remorse or any sadness to see this guy go. And it's sad the way he went and everything, but it's still. And wouldn't it be poetic if, you know, 30 years ago the Knicks and the Rangers were both in the NBA Finals and they have a chance to go to the Finals 30 years later on the year he passed away, and imagine they're both in the Finals again, and to see that, like, you know, translation, that would be really cool.
Well, I certainly will say, I don't have any commentary whatsoever for his family. Obviously, his children. I mean, I think children and loved ones have their own decisions and relationships to make with their flawed parents, siblings, etc. Yeah. I pass no judgment on that whatsoever. I'm sure there are plenty of people who will mourn O.J. Simpson. But I'm just saying, for me personally, as I'm mourning someone else who is such a wonderful person, it's hard for me to spend a lot of bandwidth when so much of what I know about OJ was not great. That doesn't mean I think that he deserved anything bad in his way. I'm not God. I will not pass judgment on the man as he's dying. I'm just saying I personally don't have the bandwidth for it.
Do you believe, and this is, we don't know this question, so supposedly his family was around him. Was there a deathbed confession? Or did he take it to his grave?
Didn't he already write the
book? He wrote a book,
If I had done it.
Right. But still, the if.
No.
Did he finally say, you know what, I did this?
I no chance. No chance.
I would say this. If he didn't do it, it's probably because the people that are around him
all knew,
and he probably had told them at different times.
Right.
Or so, his children around him, and if he admitted that he did it, then he took their mother away. So,
not what you want.
Nope. Hey, I told you that my home needed a refresh, so I chose the painting professionals at CertaPro Painters. They're working now, and CertaPro Painters treats my home with as much care as I would. They've protected my floors and the carpeting on my staircase. Everything is clean and handled with care, including the scaffolding they needed to use to reach everything. The precision and attention to detail as they paint every spindle of the staircase is absolutely exceptional. No lie. They take pride in what they do, and you could trust them to get the job done right. Now's the time to do the home painting project you've been putting off. Why wait? From now through April 30th, CertaPro Painters is running its spring sales event. Special offers available at participating locations. Each CertaPro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They are a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose CertaPro Painters.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I see what you're doing there, Jacob. That's a good choice. Biggie, discovered by the late, great Mr. C, of course, Brooklyn's own. And guys, let's get into a little leaderboard update presented by Skyway Golf Course. I am, of course, most excited because a man you may be familiar with named LT Gray, Tiger Woods, will be teeing off shortly, in about 15 minutes.
I'm good.
Right now, Bryson DeChambeau leads the pack. He's 5 under through 15. Scotty Scheffler sitting at 2 under. If you're a Scheffler guy, Don, not so much.
No, I'm good.
How about Phil Mickelson? 1 under through 12.
I'm good.
All right. That's the leaderboard update brought to you by Kemper Golf. Golf fans, check out Skyway Golf Course in New Jersey.
I like Jersey.
There you go.
Do you even know Tiger's real first name?
What's his face? Eldrick.
Yes.
Wow.
Eldrick Tiger Woods. Well, I was thinking of his dad. What's his dad's name again?
Dad.
Dad Woods?
Yeah, Dad Woods. let's give some love to the Mets, who are putting a pounding on the Braves. About to take two out of three.
Hey now.
12-3 last time I looked up there in the seventh inning.
What's up with the Braves?
Braves have been very, very ordinary. They've got they have some issues. I mean, I think they'll correct them because they're a good offensive team. But there's some issues there. The bullpen, I don't think, is all that great. But Nimmo's got a couple of hits. Marte, you know, people forget Marte got hurt last year, and Lindor's got a hit. Still 1-for-5. Alonso, nice outbreak here. And now you took the series.
Yeah, 2 out of 3.
Because they're not making up the game from last night until September.
Yep.
So that's back-to-back series that the Mets have won.
Now, the Yankees lost yesterday. We're in the middle of Diamond Notes right now, brought to you by London Jewelers. Yankees lost. Stroman didn't have his best stuff, although he persevered and battled. So
you give him credit for that. Issue, right?
Yeah, his command wasn't great, but he gave them 5 innings. Yankees tried to come back. Stanton, another home run, has now homered against all 30 teams in baseball. He had never homered against his former team. Finally did
that. Makes sense.
He looks very good. And what a spirited rally in the bottom of the ninth inning. Volpe got on. Soto got on to load the bases and passed the baton to Aaron Judge. And Judge, who has a high on-base percentage, and I think he has 14 or 15 walks so far in the year, just hit a medium-range fly ball to center field to end the game. But it was set up for a dramatic finish. But Judge still is not right there just yet. And I think the lack of at-bats during spring training have bothered him a bit, although they say that's not the case.
Well, let me recreate an interaction that Anthony Pusick, our producer, had with Michael Peter earlier in the day. All right, Michael, just react the same way you did with Anthony. Are you worried about Judge?
No.
Yeah, it was a quick no. A dismissive no. And I'm not saying he should be concerned. But
I'd only be concerned if he's hurt.
But it could be one of those years, Michael.
Nope, he's never had one of them.
All the more reason, right? I mean, sometimes, look at the Alexander Ovechkin's going to finish with 30 goals. He routinely gets 45.
Well, he's 85 years old.
But I'm just saying that, but all of a sudden, maybe it's age, or just maybe sometimes you just have one of those years. Like, is it a crazy thought?
Yes. He's never even asked
the question.
He's never had one of those years. He's not that kind of player.
Peter, I'll ask you. So you're telling me, great, historic years, the greatest players of all time. All of a sudden, he just can't have a year where he bats 280 and hits 35 home runs and drives in 95 RBI. Like, that's completely out of realm.
That was a good season.
280.
Because you didn't let me finish.
Well, you said 38 home runs and 95 RBI?
Yeah. Well, that
would just be like a pedestrian Judge year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So,
but that's not something wrong.
If you look at the history of great players, Don, right? You don't see 210, 220.
No, but you didn't let me. You were dismissive. You were arrogant.
I don't think I was either.
But you didn't let me finish the question. You're not concerned or worried that he's just all of a sudden going to fall off the face of the earth, but can at least be in the mind that maybe this could be one of those years for him where you say, that's 285, 37 home runs, 98 RBIs. That's not a Judge year, and that's certainly not a year that you throw away if you're an average Major League Baseball player, but could he kind of set the tone for where this might be one of a year that isn't special for Judge? That's all I'm asking. And if you're not concerned about it, then you could say no.
But I wouldn't even be concerned if he did that. That's not a terrible year. It's not 62 home runs. Well, it's not 52 home runs, but it's a good year for anybody else. I mean, I'd be concerned if I thought he was going to hit, like, if he had the year at Stan had last year.
Well, okay, how about this, though? Let's ask this question. We're now 13 games in, and he is certainly, I know his on-base percentage is not bad. But at what point would you start to worry? How far do we have to go where he's still not hitting? Hitting under 200.
So what's their record? They're 11.
10-3.
They're 10-3. This is the lowest batting average that he's ever had through the first 13 games of a season, ever. So if we go to May and he's hitting under 200, I'd be a little concerned.
And I would think that there's no shot of that happening.
Right.
He's too good a ballplayer.
Right.
Unless
he's hurt.
But that's why I didn't bring up any of that, because I don't think it's on the table. But what I just want to get to, could it just be maybe where we look at it and say, this isn't going to be your typical Judge year? And it would be a little disconcerting just because of the protection he has in the lineup. And I still think you can win with those numbers, don't get me wrong. But, you know, even Willie Mays and even Barry Bonds and didn't always go out and hit 70 home runs. There was always those 1 year where the numbers just seemed to be a little bit off. But because he's such a great player, a little off is still better than like 80% of the rest of Major League Baseball. But I think that could still be on the table. A pedestrian year for him.
In the back of my mind, knowing how tough a guy he is and the fact that he was so distraught about missing all that time after injuring the toe in Dodger Stadium, it's way back in the back of my mind that maybe he's playing at less than 100%. Because, again, they don't put you a 6'7" guy, 282 pounds, in an MRI tube for nothing. And they MRI'd his abdominal area. And they said that they didn't find anything for any concern. Is it still bothering him? Because he just looks like it's a tick off. But then, you know, the other day he was on base four times. He hit a double that was, you know, probably dented the ball.
Because he's
I just
so
think
great.
It's a matter of time. But if he's hurt, then that's a concern. One other baseball note. Jordan Montgomery told Scott Boras, I'm good. He got rid of him as an agent.
Well, why wouldn't you?
No,
that's
other
not
guys
what you
didn't.
Signed up for.
His other guys
No, but
didn't.
I can understand if I'm Jordan Montgomery and I say to myself, I'm going to hire Scott Boras to get top dollar, and then I end up missing the first month of the season. I don't get the money that I was looking for, and then I take a look at what's happened with Snell. He gets beat up in his first outing in San Francisco, and I might throw away my season. I could be a little ticked off. I am sure the conversation that Scott had with him was not, hey, I don't think you're going to get signed right away. He probably said, don't worry about it, man. I'm going to get you big money. You're going to go someplace, and it's going to be great. It's going to be special. It's going to be fun.
I always say this. I always use this as an addendum. I have the utmost respect for Scott. I think he misread the market this year. So a guy who's probably never going to have a year like he had last year, where he helps a team win a World Series, got a one-year $25 million deal. He did not cash in on his one great year. Let's see if he does it again. Now, he has a vesting player option for $20 million, and that vests at 10 starts and can escalate to 25 if he starts 23 games. So, at best, it's 2 years, $50 million. And then look what Snell got after winning a second Cy Young. Nothing.
Right.
And Chapman, although I think Chapman got what he deserved because I think Chapman's a flawed player. Cody Bellinger, nothing.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, you're not coming through with your promise.
But he's going to just bask in the glory of representing Soto.
Because
he's going to sit there and they're going to be throwing offers at him.
Right, but that's not I could be his agent, and you can get that. That's Roger Goodell negotiating television money for the NFL.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go. Let me close out the ad, please.
I was wondering when you were
going to
do that.
That was Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Drew in Asbury Park. Drew, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, so I've thought about calling a couple times when you guys led with Shohei Ohtani, but so for me, just to give you a heads up, like I'm a recovering compulsive gambler. You know, been about 5 years since I've placed a bet. Life is going great and everything. And when I hear this story, it just resonates with me because the part that I don't understand is that you have a guy, Mizuhara, is allegedly $16 million in bets, 19,000 bets, whatever, huge numbers, right? And to your point, when you said, when you're a gambler to that degree and when you have a problem, you just don't stop. And you continually try to find new ways to make bets and get money. But my thing is, to everyone's point, is there's just no way that if he gets access to that money, how does nobody know? Are people making it hush hush? That's just the part that I just don't understand. And
Drew, let me ask you a question because you've lived through this. You're living through it. Is there a way that if you're a compulsive gambler, right, Drew, that you would draw a line and go, "Oh, I'm not going to bet. I will not gamble on baseball." Though, is there a way that you have that mindset that you could draw that line and that's the hill you'd die on?
For me, not possible. Like, you know, for my story, I just got to a point, I didn't do anything illegal, but theoretically I was heading in that direction, right?
Right.
I was so desperate to, you know, I went out and got loans. I did this. I maxed out my credit cards. You know, I ended up losing my house over it. I would have gotten to a point where I'd done something illegal because I was so desperate. There was no line that I would bet on anything. It could be, you know, ping pong at 3 a.m. or something like that. And I'll go to that level.
How did you stop, Drew?
For me, I just got to a point where, you know, I found that, you know, life for me wasn't worth living anymore, and I had to do something different, right? you know, so I had to come clean to those around me. And, you know, thankfully for me, I was able to, you know, go to GA, change my life around. And, you know, for me, gambling was like the least problem. I had so many things in my life that were a bigger problem than that. And once I fixed those things, everything got better after that.
I do. I'm curious, though, Drew, and if this is too personal, you could tell me. Do you still want to gamble? Is the proliferation of gambling now and all the apps that are available, does it still have a pull toward you that you have to fight?
Not so much anymore, just because I understand what kind of the ticks I have that made me want to do that in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's with, you know, going to meetings, having a sponsor, doing all that stuff. If I didn't do those things and said, hey, I haven't gambled in almost 5 years, I would go back to either that behavior or some other bad behavior.
I feel you, bro. Can I ask you one more question?
Absolutely.
Can you explain to Michael, I don't think I do a good job explaining it, but I think, and maybe you won't agree with me, but I think you will, in my experience. Michael doesn't seem to think there's a world in which it would be humanly possible for someone to be a degenerate gambler, but have lines that they don't cross. Can you put into words that you can be a degenerate gambler where you make really bad decisions, but still have some lines you might not cross?
I mean, I guess that's possible. For me, I just think, if I had continued to do that, they would just, I would draw a line. Maybe I wouldn't hit it for a really long time.
But then you'd cross it.
I think eventually I would hit it.
The guy lost his house, Peter. Drew lost his house. So that wasn't a line that he would.
Right. Fair point. But I'm just saying, I think everyone's addiction is different. Right, Drew? Like, you just never know. No one addiction is the exact same as the other.
Well, that's true.
That's correct.
So we have, so just in closing, Drew, this doesn't pass the smell test to you.
No, I think there's more to this, and it's not that I'm accusing Shohei Ohtani of knowing, but just it doesn't feel right. It doesn't look like, it doesn't smell right. You know, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck. I think there's more here that we're going to see, whether that's in the coming weeks or months. It's just my gut feeling.
I just wonder, you know, if Ohtani wasn't gambling, could he have been funding the addiction? And listen, I'll fund you. I'll give you the money. Just whatever you do, don't bet on baseball. Because if that gets back, then I can get thrown out of the game. So here's all the money you need to bet. I'll take care of you because I don't want to lose you. But the line you can't cross is betting on baseball. Otherwise, I'll shut it down. So is that enough? Because it just seems 19,000 bets? Never once on the one sport that you know?
Think about if he'd been using the promo code Peter the whole time.
Oh, my
God.
You'd
be rich.
Are you kidding me?
You don't want...
Well, thank you, Drew, for sharing that story with us. We do appreciate it. We'll come back. There's one name that definitely hovers out there when you talk about the story. And when we come back, we'll tell you what that exactly is. And now, for the most awkward transition of all time, Peter's going to tell you about a gambling app.
Oh, you know what? Or as Griffin would say.
You know what?
Yeah. It's playoff time in the NBA. And the NHL. Baseball's in full swing as well, and FanDuel's your place to bet on every game. If you bet, and if you're a responsible bettor, right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Peter and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text OpenY at 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, it's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. The Knicks are in Boston to face the Celtics with coverage starting at 7 on 98.7. Congratulations to the Knicks. They clinched one of the top six playoff spots, so no play-in for them, and they clinched while they didn't play. Good thing, Rangers host the Flyers with coverage at 6:30. That'll be on 10:50. And the Islanders face the Canadiens on the island with coverage at 7 on the ESPN New York app. And the Devils take on the Maple Leafs in Toronto at 7. And we talked a lot about this yesterday, Don. Peter Laviolette finally spoke after he spoke following the game, and he kind of walked back his comments, right?
I'm just trying to find the exact comment because he walked in, kind of had a sheepish smile on his face. And then here was Vince Micagliano tweeted, Peter Laviolette smiled when he walked into the press room and said, I've decompressed. added, my frustration is that our guys were playing hard in that game, and I would have liked to see us on the power play a few times in the third period. Then he said it's time to move on. So he kind of...
He didn't say he was wrong.
He didn't, but he definitely, with the smile on his face, I think he realized that it got way more press than he wanted it to. Probably saw the replay, realized it wasn't that bad. So I just find it interesting that all these Ranger fans that like jumped on the feeling that Pelech did something illegal because of what Peter said. I think we all kind of felt like Peter missed it because, Michael, how often do you see a controversy where somebody says something and you can't find anybody to agree with them?
Right.
Except, like, you know, fans, but like other people that I really respect in the business who know the sport, that played the sport, are all like, it was an accident. So I felt he either misread the situation because he sees it live and maybe he saw it differently than other people did and then looked at the replay and changed his mind, or there was some kind of motivation behind doing it. We'll see what happens on Saturday, but I just think he saw it live, saw something that he thought he saw that he didn't really see, and now it's over.
Now, the name that keeps cropping into my mind with this Ohtani situation, and it's hard for me to fathom, because I honestly wouldn't do this for my wife. I just wouldn't. Greg Anderson took the hit for Barry Bonds and went to jail for him, rather than say that Bonds did indeed do steroids. Is Ippy that guy?
Yes, I believe he is.
But then what's the involvement that Ohtani has, you think?
This is the way I would draw it, because everybody says it stinks. And again, looking at what's presented to us, it just doesn't seem right.
Mets win, by the way. We've gone final.
Mets win. They win. 16-4.
That's nice.
Yay!
He obviously was close to this guy.
Right.
And didn't want to lose this guy. The guy's got a massive gambling problem. And probably at the start, he was probably down a few $100,000. And Ohtani's thinking, well, I don't want to lose this guy. I don't want to get this guy's legs broken. I don't want to have to identify his body someplace because he owes so much money. I'll pay his debt. And then it just becomes where instead of him learning his lesson, he comes back and now he's down even more money. And he begins to fund it. And maybe he literally saves his life, Michael. We're talking about illegal gamblers. We don't know what could end up happening to this guy when you're talking about that kind of money that he owes. And maybe he feels like, listen, if it wasn't for Ohtani, I'd probably be dead. So you know what? I'll take the fall for him because I don't want to see him get in any kind of trouble. How do you explain that his first instinct was to say that Ohtani loaned him the money? And then everybody walked it back right after that. Because they probably explained to him, you know, you're going to take down your buddy if you admit that he funded your gambling problem. Now, if you want to really get seedy and say that he was betting Ohtani's money or Ohtani was taking percentage of the winnings or something, I don't know that. But is it possible that Ohtani might have literally saved his life and he feels like, I owe him? I don't know what Anderson's connection is to Bonds. I don't think it was to that level, and he still went to jail for the guy.
How much time did he do?
About a year, I think. Maybe a little more. I mean, a year in jail is a lot, man.
How
much is Epi going to do?
I think many, many years. I mean, this is grand theft. $16 million. Changing bank accounts. It's not like not going to get a slap on the wrist.
Now, for somebody to retort what I said was like, well, why can't Ohtani just say, no, he didn't steal from me? Well, because I think Ohtani realizes in order for this story to work, he's got to prosecute, he's got to file charges.
Right.
You know, and then it's got a chance of going away. Because if Ohtani says, no, it didn't happen, then they got to find out where he got all this money.
Let's go to the phones.
What
happened?
Tigers off the tee. Perfect drive, Don. Right down the fairway to start things off in Augusta.
This is what the next 2 days are going
to
be.
Well, it might be time for me to go tomorrow.
Yeah.
What time's your game tomorrow?
His name is Earl. I don't have a game tomorrow.
Earl.
I'm off the Cleveland series.
Earl and Eldrick.
See ya.
So you're in studio. You're with us tomorrow?
Yeah.
All day?
Yeah.
We might lose Michael like at 5:30. He might get up.
What time do they start tomorrow? Say it's one of the 6:05s.
Who? I'm not doing the game.
No, he's out. No, I think so we might lose him halfway through, meaning they're starting.
No, meaning that you're going to just irritate him with Tiger stuff.
Oh, with
stuff.
The Tiger stuff.
He's going to get up and walk out.
He won't even make the cut. I'm not worried.
Will play tomorrow.
He doesn't need the cut, Tiger. Let me explain how golf works, Michael. They don't cut every day. They cut after Friday.
No, tomorrow. He won't make the cut. He'll be so far away.
Then I wouldn't even cut him out. I hope
because you know what? He has to walk the course.
I know. That was a really strong point by Trey yesterday.
Yeah, well, when Kevin wasn't stepping on him.
There was some steppage there. Yeah. That was
a little bit.
But that was pretty cool, though. He could use the cart, and he won't, because you gotta respect that.
No, I do.
I respect it, but don't you... Here's my question. If Tiger took the health exemption and drove the cart, would you view it in a negative light, or would you say, good for him, that allows him to play?
Well, because the injury was caused by him, I wouldn't think it was a gallant thing to do. You know, if he had a bad back...
He does.
Right, but I mean, the thing that's really bothering him is the leg. That's the thing that's really getting him.
Which is from the accident.
Right. And then, obviously, with the wife and everything. So, I don't think he ever comes out of this with glory, but...
The only way to come through with glory is to just keep walking.
Well, that's what he's doing.
But that makes it impossible.
But I bet you he's not taking the cart because he thinks it would be looked down upon.
Right. Ooh, that's the debate.
Yeah.
Because that's a reason, but then the other reason could be that he respects the game.
I think he does respect the game. Other things he doesn't respect, but I think he respects the game of golf.
You know what? That's a long... Can you let the guy up?
No. Danny Hurley. I respect him.
Okay.
Two straight national championships.
He might have made a mistake in his life before.
Not that I know of.
Well, you haven't asked him.
Well, we'll ask him. He's coming on next. Danny Hurley.
First question.
Yeah.
What biggest mistake you've ever made, Danny?
No, I won't do it. I would never, ever besmirch Danny Hurley. I love the man. Peter Dodge.
Well, I would never besmirch Dodge and Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. All right. They have a 30 for 30 sale. Come get some right now. You can take up to 30% off MSRP during the next 30 days on brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee, 4XEs, Gladiators, Wagoneers, Grand Wagoneers, all up to 30% off MSRP. Go visit Michelle Scalise during their Jeep celebration event and come get some.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.